Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So it's always very exciting to come back to stand behind this pulpit. My subject is making evangelism important in my life. Evangelism is the word that appears in the program, but I hope that doesn't confuse what we're talking about this afternoon. Evangelism, and I think we all can agree on this, evangelism is not the responsibility of only evangelists. And this is true of all of the offices in the church. Elders are appointed to be the leaders of congregations, but they're certainly not the only ones in a congregation that have some responsibility to lead. Deacons are appointed to handle the physical matters in a congregation, but they're certainly not the only ones that have the responsibility of exercising that kind of stewardship. The same thing is certainly true of evangelism. Evangelists are appointed to do the work of an evangelist, but they're definitely not the only ones that have the responsibility to do that work. Every Christian does have an obligation to evangelize. And I hope we can begin by agreeing that evangelism is the responsibility of every Christian. As a Christian, you're a part of the most important and the most influential organization that this world has ever seen. As a Christian, you're part of the kingdom that has changed this world and still has power to change lives today. You have a message. You understand a message that every person needs to hear. How did Peter and John respond when they were told to stop talking about the man who was healed at the temple? Do you remember what they said in Acts chapter 4? They were told to be silent, to stop talking about Jesus, to stop talking about the man that was healed by the power of Jesus. And here's what they said, Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Peter and John understood the power of the gospel. And like Peter said, we cannot but speak the things that we have come to understand. And I agree with that statement. It's hard for me to imagine a Christian that doesn't understand the importance of sharing their faith with the world. It's hard for me to imagine a Christian that doesn't have an interest in spreading the Word of God. So I feel like we can approach this subject with that understanding, that evangelism is important to you, that you realize that you do hold the keys to the kingdom of life, that you understand just how precious the message is, and you're willing and interested in sharing that message. That's the easy part. You know that evangelism is important. I understand it's important. I think we can all agree that we have an obligation to share the Word of God. It's the next part that seems to be so much more difficult. How do you do that? How do you share the Word of God? There's so many things that we could talk about this afternoon, and there's just a few that I want to bring to your attention. We can agree that all Christians are called to sow seeds of faith. So how are we going to make that happen in our lives? I have a feeling, maybe this isn't true, but I have a feeling that when we talk about and think about evangelism, most of the time we imagine it, we imagine evangelism, especially when we use that word, we imagine it as a deliberate and formal process of seeking out unbelievers. And there's nothing wrong with thinking of it like that. As a deliberate and formal process of seeking out unbelievers. I think we probably also sometimes imagine evangelism as something that happens most often in Bible studies or most often on canvassing campaigns. And evangelism certainly can be those things, and sometimes it should be those things, but I would say that evangelism is not only those things, and it's not even most importantly those things. First and foremost, the most effective thing that you can and must do to share the message of Christ, and this seems so intuitive, but it's so important. The first and most important thing you can do in sharing the message of Christ is to act like Christ. Just act like Christ. And I think that you'll find evangelism a very simple thing to do, in fact. When a Christian lives like the Bible teaches us to, I don't think you'll have much trouble finding unbelievers. In fact, I don't think you'll have to seek out unbelievers. Because when you act like a Christian, the unbelievers will find you. They will notice you and they will see you. And they'll have questions for you. Sometimes that's all it takes. In fact, many times that's all it takes. People will notice Christians. They will notice your moral, upright conduct. Because sometimes that alone is just as capable of penetrating the darkness in this world as well as anything else that you could say or do. In fact, I think this is exactly what Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 5. This is one of the first things that we have recorded for us in the Bible. And I believe that's the point. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14. You are the light of the world. All Christians, not just the apostles, not just the first disciples, not just evangelists, all Christians, you are the light of the world. So you, us, here, right in this building, me, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus doesn't say, go looking for unbelievers, because you don't have to go looking for them many times. You're surrounded by them every day. And so just as a consequence of being a Christian, your light will be shining in the darkness. And when you let your light shine in that way, they will see your good works, and perhaps, Jesus says, they too will glorify your Father in heaven. Again, this is such a simple point, but it's so important. If you are living like a Christian, and I hope you believe this, if you're living like a Christian, people will see you. Not because you're seeking to be seen. In fact, I would say that would be the wrong approach. Not because you're seeking to be seen, but because people can't help but see you. Christians are unusual. You too, Glenn. Yes. Christians are unusual. I wondered if you'd think I was talking just about you. No, we all are unusual. Christians are unusual. And people notice that. If you're living like a Christian, the world will see your exceptional moral conduct. They will see your exceptional moral conduct. If you're living like a Christian, people will notice the purity of your speech. People will see your integrity. And I see some of you shaking your heads, and I believe that's because you've also noticed this in your own lives. And that shouldn't be surprising, because that's exactly what the Bible teaches. And it's not that you're free from any faults. None of us believe that. No one in the world believes that either. It's not that you're free from any faults, but it will be apparent to the world around you that you are different. Your life is not living in sin, and that's what makes you different. Peter also tells us what can be accomplished by this. This is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. You see, when people realize that you're different, when they see your moral conduct, when they see the purity of your speech, when they see your work ethic and your integrity, many times people don't like that. And they want to find something wrong with you just so they can undermine the things that you believe and teach and live by. They want to find something wrong with you. And Peter's message here is don't give that to them. Don't give the world any reason to doubt the integrity of the Christian life. Because if you do, they can walk away and any further efforts to share the gospel with them will have no effect at all. But if you can present yourself whole and holy to them, like Peter says, they will observe your good works, and perhaps they too will glorify God in the day of visitation. And so here's the point. This is Peter's point, in my understanding. Before the world will come to understand God, they are first going to come to understand you. For them to see God, they have to see God through you. They will see that you abstain from fleshly lust. They will see that your conduct is respectable. You see, a good reputation will follow a Christian. And more, that's an unusual thing in this world. If you have a good reputation, if you maintain your integrity, people notice that and they'll acknowledge that you're different. And some people will want to know why you're different. So here's the point. We can't make an honest attempt to evangelize anyone until we've made a real commitment to our own lives to live like the one that we're preaching. And this is a very simple recurring theme in the Bible. Get your life right first, and then your life will influence others as well. Just think of all of these verses that apply to this idea. I'll begin with Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 14. Paul says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." So keep in mind, this is the way a Christian lives. This is what makes you different. So again, Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 14. "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." I know I've already said this several times, but the Bible makes this point many, many times, that if you live like your Master, Jesus Christ, you will shine as a light in the world. In many cases, you don't have to even say anything. You don't have to wear your religion on your sleeve, because people will notice you anyway. People will see that you don't complain when you work, that you're not a busybody at work, that you're not a disputer. They will see your moral conduct, and Paul says to the Philippians, the effect will be that you will shine as a light in the world. Paul's talking to Titus, Titus chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, talking specifically to the young men. He says, "Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded." Again, a list of things that make you different as a Christian. "Exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility." Verse 8, "sound speech that cannot be condemned." And why are those things so important? He says that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing to evil to say of you. You see, people are interested in resisting your influence as a Christian. And just like we've talked about already, people are looking for reasons to doubt your integrity as a Christian, to resist the message of the gospel. Your responsibility is to prove them wrong, to show them that Christians do live like their Master, that Christians believe in the Bible and they live by the instructions of the Bible. Notice a few other things that Paul tells Titus here. Be a pattern of good works. And then concerning doctrine, he says, showing integrity. Prove yourself dependable, in other words. And I find this to be one of the most effective ways that you can evangelize. If you can prove to people, and I don't even think that you have to go out and make a concerted effort to do this. If you're a Christian, this is something that you can do. When you're at work, or you're at school, or you're among your family and friends that are unbelievers, you be the one that understands the Bible and has the answers. This is something that I find happening on a regular basis. Religious conversations come up at different times among friends or family or co-workers or peers, and random questions come up about the Bible, or confusion comes up over the Bible. You be the one that has the answers. People will learn to respect you because in doctrine you have integrity. You're believable. They obviously can see that you're the one that understands the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, this is just part of your daily life as a Christian. This isn't something that you necessarily have to make a concerted effort to even do. If you're a Christian, you can do this. One more thing that Paul says to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. This time he's talking to the bondservants. Another example of how Christians in their daily lives are evangelizing, whether they're doing it deliberately or not. Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters. This is just the nature of a Christian. Be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity. And why do you do that? Why is it important for us as the inferiors to respect and respond appropriately to our superiors? He says that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. In every way, in every aspect of our lives, the doctrine of Jesus Christ is like a garment that we wear for everyone to see. Self-sacrifice, sobriety, good works, good work ethic, moral excellence, all of these things send a very powerful message to the world. And if you're living like this in your life, I know that you've experienced it. Unfortunately, a Christian who's not doing these things is also sending a powerful message to the world. I believe that there is very few things that are more damaging to the spreading of the gospel than an outspoken Christian who lives, whose life is shamelessly full of vices. There's nothing more damaging to the gospel than an outspoken, self-proclaimed Christian who shamelessly has a life full of vices. And I think the best example of this is in what Paul says to the Jews in Romans chapter 2. Just listen to what he says here. This is Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 17. And if you'd like, when I read Jew, you think Christian, because I believe it's the same message. Here's what he says to them, Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 17. Indeed, you are called a Jew. Or you could say, indeed, you are called a Christian. Indeed, you are called a Jew, and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know His will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law. And you are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having a form of the knowledge of truth in the law. And I think those are all good things to believe. It was good for the Jews to believe that. And it's certainly true of Christians as well. Should you be confident that you're a guide to the blind? Absolutely. Should you consider yourself a light to those who are in darkness? Absolutely. Are you an instructor of the foolish? Are you a teacher of babes? Yes, you should be all of those things. But then he goes on in verse 21. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make a boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? And then here's what he says in verse 24, and these are piercing words. Verse 24, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Paul said that to the Jews, but the reality is this probably sometimes, too often, applies to Christians. That we wear the name of Christ, but what's the effect when we don't act like Christ? I just heard the results of a survey that were done a few years ago, and something like 60 or 70% of people who don't go to church, they believe themselves to be Christians, but something like 60 to 70% of people that don't go to church don't do that because they believe that the people in the church are just a bunch of hypocrites. Whether that's reality or not, that's the perception. And that's exactly the thing that we're taught to avoid in the Bible, to make sure that our own lives are pure, so that when we tell people that we're Christians, they actually can believe that. That when we say that we submit to Jesus Christ as our Lord, our life shows the evidence that we really do that. I feel like we could just begin there, and that would be a tremendous start in effective evangelism. So that's number one. If you want to teach people about Christ, if you want to spread the word of the gospel, first, act like a Christian. If you can do that, I think you probably already know this, is just how effective you can be in planting seeds of faith. So number one, live like Christ. And then secondly, when you are presented with those opportunities, with those casual and impromptu conversations, the kinds of conversations that you weren't even looking for, when you get into those situations, just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. When a Christian lives like the Bible teaches us to, like I've said already, many times, not always, but many times, You won't have to go looking for unbelievers because they will find you. The reality of life is that opportunities to talk about God and the gospel, they will find you. They will find you. And if your life is like mine, you don't usually have to go looking for them. You know, sometimes you have to massage a situation to make it the right situation, but you don't have to go looking too hard. And so when you do come into those situations, you have one job. I have one responsibility. That's tell the truth. Now that seems so simple. Nobody wants to lie. I mean, do you ever walk into a situation with the intention of lying? I hope not. I doubt that you do. But how hard is it to just tell the truth? Especially in this context, I think it can be difficult sometimes. But the truth is, you don't have anything to be ashamed of. You have nothing to be ashamed of. And you certainly don't need to disguise the Word of God. It's tempting, probably, to do that sometimes. I know it is in my life, and I suspect sometimes it is in yours. But you don't have to disguise the Word of God. You don't have to be ashamed of it. Here's what Paul says in Acts chapter 26, verse 22. Acts chapter 26, verse 22. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing to both small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Did you notice what Paul said? I say no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. So Paul was talking to Jews, and essentially what he was saying is, I'm not telling you anything other than what Moses and the prophets said would happen. And I feel like that should be our same approach when we're talking to people who are unbelievers. We just tell them what the Bible says. It's not about what you believe. It's not about what I believe. It's about what the Bible says. It's not about you. It's in many cases, it's not about your own opinions. It's not always about your personal convictions. It's just about what the Bible says and them. Here's another way that Paul says it in Acts chapter 24, verse 14. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. And I think this is interesting as well, and it's a very good point for us. Paul's message to unbelievers was very simple. Let me read that passage again. This I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. So here's how you might say it. Yes, I am a Christian. Are you willing to say that to people? You know, we are living in a world where it's less and less popular to be a Christian. And I would say, I'm no prophet, but I would say within a generation it will be extremely unpopular to be a Christian, to be a real Christian. So what's your message? It's the same as Paul's. Yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I do believe the Bible. In fact, I believe everything in the Bible. And yes, I'm willing to tell you what the Bible says. And yes, like Paul says, I do worship God according to what I read in the Bible. And that's not something that we should present in a divisive way. Of course, we should always season our speech with salt. That's what Paul says. I confess to you, I do worship according to the way. I do believe all things that are written in the prophets and in the law. And this should be your message as well. Yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I believe the Bible. Yes, I believe all of the Bible. And yes, I do worship God according to what I read about in the Bible. Be kind, be gentle, but be honest. And that's what I mean by tell the truth. Let me give you a few specific situations to make this reality for all of us. It's so easy to stand behind this pulpit and say, tell the truth. And it's so easy for you to sit there in the seat and say, yeah, I'll tell the truth. But we all know that there are situations when it becomes extremely difficult to tell the truth. I've had this happen before, and I blew it. I'll tell you that up front. I didn't respond like I should have, but this was the opportunity that landed in my lap. And it's happened more than once. I've had a coworker come up to me and said, because, you know, they know I'm a religious person, and so they think I want to know this, and I do want to know this, so they'll come and tell me, they'll say, Tad, my child last night was saved. They responded to the call. They walked up to the front and they said the sinner's prayer right there in front of the whole congregation. What do you say to that? You have to say something, don't you? You have to say something. So you really have two options. One option is the easy option, and that's to casually nod your head, say as little as possible, and in reality walk away from that situation a liar, right? To give them the impression that you are somehow in agreement with them, that it is somehow possible to say the sinner's prayer and be saved, when we know that's just not what you read in the Bible. So that's one option. That's the easy option. That's the option that I followed. The other option is the hard one. The other option is to tell them the truth, right? They put the situation in your lap. You don't want to be offensive, but you can't give them the impression that you agree with that when it's not true. So the other option is to risk creating an extremely uncomfortable situation and tell them, well, have they been baptized? I think you'll want to do that. You know, there is a right way to present that information. You don't have to say, actually, no, they're not saved. Sorry. I wouldn't do that. But there's got to be a way. And I think the way is to say, well, they need to be baptized. Did you know that the Bible says that when you have decided that you will submit to Jesus Christ as your Lord, that you need to be baptized? And some people still won't like it, but wouldn't you rather create a tense situation than walk away a liar? That's a real situation that I have encountered, and I'm sure you on some level have encountered as well. Here's another situation that's a real situation that is, to me, the perfect opportunity to talk to someone about the truth of the Bible. You have a friend on Facebook. If you don't know what Facebook is, don't worry about it. So you have a friend on Facebook, and they're someone that they believe themselves to be a Christian. And they post an article on Facebook, and the title of that article is Why Christians Should Support Gay Marriage. That happens, it seems like, at least on a weekly basis. And my mom would agree with this. I'm not one to run away from an argument. And I don't approach those situations as if it's an argument, but many times in those situations, people are deliberately divisive. And so the way I look at it is if they're asking for someone to argue with them, I'm sure. And I told you, can you agree with, well, mom's not even in here, so she can't be a witness. Oh, I see. And maybe I'm giving you the wrong impression on how to approach that a situation, but the reality is that's a perfect example of an easy way to tell someone, actually, this is what the Bible says. And you should do that in an appropriate way. And it's such an easy thing. You don't even have to look them in the eyes while you tell them the truth. You can just politely, kindly, in the most palatable way possible, tell them the truth. And it doesn't have to be just on the subject of homosexuality. It can be on anything. You know, that's your job as a Christian. Just tell people the truth. And if they're asking for a discussion or an argument, especially if you don't have to look at them while you do it, give them the truth. And it's just one more very simple way that you can shine your light. Again, do so in the most palatable way possible. Don't be abrasive. Don't appear to be argumentative. Approach it with the spirit of meekness and gentleness, just like the Bible tells us to do, having a concern for their soul and your own soul. Because if you don't tell them the truth, who else is going to? If you don't tell them the truth, who else is going to? No one will. This is the individual responsibility of every Christian. And of course, this is the corporate responsibility of the church as well. That's exactly what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He says, if I'm delayed, I write so that you know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. And what is the house of God? It's the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. And it's not some abstract organization that's floating in outer space. This is you. You are the church. You are the pillar and ground of truth. That doesn't mean you create truth. It means you support the truth, that you hold it up, that you maintain it so that everyone can see it. The church is meant to be the benchmark and standard of righteousness. The work of the church is to maintain truth, to uphold it, to preserve it, and like Jude says, to defend the faith, to defend the truth. Our work is to broadcast the truth, to make sure that people can see it, because there's so many lies out there for the world to digest. Give them something else. Give them the truth. So live like a Christian, tell the truth. And then one more thing I think is very important to consider in your daily life as you are attempting to evangelize. Tell the truth, live like a Christian, and focus on the essential facts. Right? You see, and I think some of you are like this too. I know the reality is I hold some views that some people would consider extremely radical. Some people would just consider wrong. But they're personal convictions, right? And the thing about personal convictions is you wouldn't have personal convictions unless you thought everybody else should think the same way too, right? You know, that's just the nature of an opinion. But be sure in your effort to evangelize, to share the Word of God, that that's what you're sharing. You're sharing the Word of God. We're not sharing personal convictions that are connected to the Word of God. We all have idiosyncrasies. We all have preferences when it comes to various topics. And you know, the thing about opinions is you can take them or leave them, and there should be no consequence. But that's not true with everything. And that's why it's so important with evangelism. We focus on the essential facts, and don't let these peripheral issues distract us from those essential facts. The peripheral issues should come later in many cases. If it truly isn't an opinion or some kind of personal conviction, it never has to come. But there are things that are essential facts. And I believe this is certainly a teaching of the Bible. The Bible God does us a great favor by making clear for us which issues cannot be misunderstood. You see, there are some issues that can be misunderstood, or at least I hope so. Let me give you an example. Raise your hand if you think you perfectly understand the book of Revelation. All right. So we agree. So you agree that we'd better not have to understand the entire book of Revelation to be saved, right? Well, everything in the book of Revelation is true. It's truth. But does that mean that you need it to be saved, right? Every aspect. No. You know that. I know that. So the point is, there are essential facts. When you're talking with people about the gospel, focus on the essential facts. You know, this is one of the mistakes that I've made in the past, that I've got caught up in a lot of issues that matter, but don't matter to someone who's not a believer anyway, right? You know, people, when they learn that you're from the Church of Christ, immediately they want to talk about instrumental music. Don't go down that road, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're not a Christian yet, is what I should say. It doesn't matter yet if they're not even a Christian, okay? Another thing you might run into is millennialism, right? The tribulation and all the jargon that comes with that. Now, that's an important subject, but it doesn't matter if they're not a Christian. It doesn't matter if they're not even a Christian yet. So my suggestion is don't go down that road yet. Don't go down that road yet. Because the Bible emphasizes essential facts that everyone has to get right. There are some things we must get right. And so get those right and help other people get those things right. Help them to come to understand that, yes, you must believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and must be your Savior. Help them to come to understand that in order for Him to save you, you must confess Him. Help them to come to understand that in order for Jesus Christ to save you, yes, you must turn away from your old life of sins. Help them to come to understand that, yes, to be saved, you must be immersed in the waters of baptism, and having done that, get to work for God. Help them to understand those essential facts, and the peripheral issues can come later. Not every biblical truth is a salvation issue. It can become a salvation issue if we deliberately, maliciously resist the Word of God, but it doesn't have to be. But some things absolutely are always salvation issues. Even Jesus himself talks about the weightier matters of the law. So live like a Christian. When you get into those conversations and you have opportunities to speak about God, just tell the truth. Even when it hurts, even when it's uncomfortable and complicated, just tell the truth and focus on the essential facts. That's how you can begin by doing effective work in this world. And remember this one last passage. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. How important is it for you to do these things? At least on some level, your salvation depends on it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. So this is the difficult reality of evangelism. It will bring division sometimes. It brings people together, but it also separates people. That's just the reality of the message of the gospel. Some people want it. Some people don't want it. Some people want it their way and only their way. But in order for us to approach evangelism with the right attitude, we have to acknowledge, number one, that Jesus expects me to do it. And then secondly, knowing that I might make a new brother or sister out of it, or I might lose a friend over it too. And that's just the reality of sharing the message of the gospel. I really appreciate your time and attention today. I hope I've brought to you some edifying words. Thank you.